That it was very refreshing, you know, being here in the meetings, and right now it's also nerve-wracking.
Amen.
I want to thank the church for having me, for inviting me, and allowing me on. And for the prayers, for the sacrifice that some of you also make and give so generously to Kelly and I in our ministry. What is it, 9, 10, 17? In the 17 years in the ministry, we have lacked nothing. I mean, absolutely, we have not lacked anything. So I want to thank you all. Kelly keeps making me signs. I don't know what she's trying to tell me. It's really hard because when I'm in Mexico, she's like going like this. She goes, I have her and I have my mother-in-law going, I'd much rather hear an amen, but they... So right now, Kelly was like this, and I was like this, and I was trying to... The part of the story that's maybe you all don't know, you know, Bill said that she caught me, and she kept me right there for a while. Mexicans have this thing with gringos. When we spot a gringo and we know how to speak English, we want to show off our English. So I wanted to show off my English, and I also wanted, it wasn't a sincere, the first time, I mean, it was just showing off. And I also wanted to give my peace of mind to that man about the things he was saying. He was insulting my priest. I think I was a devout Catholic. I was an altar boy, and there did come a time in my young years where we had friends, friends that were going to seminary, preparing to be a priest, and it did go through my mind that maybe the Lord wanted us, or me, to go through that way. So I wanted to give him my peace of mind. I wasn't that brave. I just wanted to tell him, keep on walking by. But to me, it's such a miracle. I mean, the way God worked. The fact that I happened to be in front of Farmacia Amen. Guadalajara. The fact that... I said, well, I'm going to go this way, hoping he was going to go that way, and we ended up going the same way.
Thank you, Lord.
Just 4 blocks maybe away, and he didn't let go. Joey didn't let go. I remember Joey giving me some studies. Then I met Michael, and I met the rest of the brothers and sisters, and I got saved a month later.
Amen.
I want to thank the Lord also for my wife. Amen. You know, I see a lot of tough ladies here. I don't know if Sister Verlina is in there. I saw her this morning. I see a lot of sweet, sweet, devout, faithful, tough ladies. I admire them. I really do. My mother-in-law, Mima. Thomas Verlene this morning, Debbie, and I got one. I got one. she's imitated the example that these ladies have set, and I am so blessed to have her.
Amen.
I want to thank you because you've been praying for us, and we did have problems with health. a year ago. I make her stress. And her stress goes into or shows up in her arthritis. And her stress makes me have anxiety attacks. I went through anxiety attacks. All of a sudden, just one day, I was crying, and they put me in the hospital, and, well, that's, we both do that. I mean, I do it to her, she does it to me. I didn't want to say anything, but he is the cause. I wanted to be respectful. But it's hard to be respectful to a man that, from day one he met you, called you scumbag. Pot liquor. I know that I say it every time I come, but I just can't get over it. Anyways, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm only going to read three verses and then I will give what God has put in my heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every man may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Those are my verses. And one of the many things that the gospel brings into light a lot of things. I didn't just understand the fact that I needed salvation. The gospel brought into light a lot of things that had never gone through my mind, even though I had been very religious. Even though I knew priests and I had a relationship, a friendship with them, a lot of things came into light when the gospel came into my life. I mentioned this morning that the book that started reflecting the light of Jesus was, to me, the book of Hebrews. His sacrifice, the atonement, redeemed, that word redeemed, justified. Sanctified. Never understood those words before I heard the gospel. And yet all those things are so important to understand. Nowadays, sometimes in churches, a Christian does not understand what the word justified means. If you just let the word out, justified, they'll take it as excusing. Someone that excuses himself. He's justifying himself. That's not what the word justified means in the Bible. Santo. Holy. Well, the word santo in Spanish was, you told me if you gave me the word santo, first thing that came up that would come to my mind was an image. Man, what was I missing? Holy, that is the Lord only. Amen. None like Him. Amen. And holiness. Mercy. When the gospel was given, I only said mercy. That God was showing His mercy on me.
Thank you, Lord.
And, you know, some people take years. I didn't get saved in a month because I was real smart. Or because the people who evangelized me were real smart, even though I think they were. Some of them. I think it was God's mercy. Another thing that the gospel brings into light is that we all, just as we've read right now, all men are going to be held accountable. I heard the gospel and I understood I am going to be held accountable.
Yes.
I accepted the Lord just after 20 or 21, I forget. But at that time, a young man does not like the word accountable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had just left home. One of the reasons was that I didn't want someone to be telling me what I had to do, and I didn't want to be explaining where I had been.
Amen.
We don't like that.
Amen.
Married men don't like that.
Amen.
Where have you been? I was with my friends. Young people don't like that. In church, it's not like.
Amen.
And that's what the gospel did. It made me understand, or to begin to understand, that one day I was going to be held accountable.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Before God.
Yes.
If you put aside, if you don't consider mercy, if you don't consider, because the gospel also brings out, enlightens the love of God. So many things in the gospel, ain't it? Ain't there? But if you put away, if you put aside pardon, love, salvation, mercy, and you just consider that the gospel brings into light accountability, that in itself is great. Just that. That man, that every creature one day will be one day before Him, and God will hold them accountable. To me, that's a tremendous thing. Humanity one day will be before their Creator. And He will demand. Accountability changes the attitude in a man. I got to Aguascalientes. I'd just been there 3 days before I met them. Why Aguascalientes? I don't know. I could have gone to Monterey. I could have gone to Mexico City. I have family in Monterey. I wanted to get into med school. I have family. I got lost. Accountability changes the attitude in a man. And like I said, I got to Aguascalientes with one thing in mind. It was during the month of March or April. I don't remember quite well. But it was during the Feria de San Marcos. The biggest, I don't know if it still is, but they used to call it the biggest bar in the world. And I was ready to party. I was ready. I mean, I had my own place where I lived. I had my key. I did not need to give explanation to anybody. 3 days later, before the party started, the gospel got to me.
Amen.
I was not looking for the gospel.
Amen.
That was the last thing on my mind. But the gospel, God got to me. It changes the attitude in a man.
Amen.
From that day, from the verse Hebrews 10:11, the intercessor of God to every priest, every day offering the same sacrifices. Not quoting exactly like the way it is in English, but that shook me. Shook the foundation of my faith. Not only did it shake the foundation of my faith, it shook my, what I called my morality. I didn't have any, and it shook it. And from day one, I rented a room that I didn't share with anyone. It was my room, 2 beds, but it was my room, and there were posters all over the room. Not decorated by me, decorated by the sons of the lady that had rented to me, and it was girls in the beach, girls with, you know, bikinis. Now I would go to bed and damn, conscience began to bother.
Amen.
My dad would call. I remember him calling, and he was worried about me. He knew me. He was worried, and I remember that after some days, some weeks, I told him, Dad, don't worry, I'm having Bible studies. I'm not out in the world. You thought I was. I thought I was. I'm having Bible studies, Dad. Okay? That worried him, because he showed up. He showed up some days later. I wasn't home. I was real sad that I didn't meet him because our relationship had been... But anyway, that got him there quickly. Accountability changes your mentality, changes your attitude. Changes your... I only need him to read. It changes your attitude and every day... In your everyday life. And I think you all have experienced this.
Amen. Yes, thank you,
there's
Lord.
Not a day that goes by
thank
that
you,
something goes through your mind, something comes through your eyesight, and you say, I can't do this.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I will be held accountable.
Amen.
It changes. And it changed me. Far from perfection, so far from perfection, but it has changed. It changes also the perspective that you have on, I don't know if this is right, overall life. Not just everyday actions, but life as a whole. I was a frustrated man at 21, or young mocoso, snotty kid, I don't know. I was a man. I was not a man. Kelly was more of a woman back then than I was a man. She was 10. I'll explain the story later. I know it sounds kind of strange. I didn't do anything or pursue her till it was 18, okay? It's your time. It ain't mine, man. So when you're done, let me know. It changes your perspective in life. Frustrated young man that was obsessed with acquiring the medical career. I mean, obsessed. Even after getting saved, I didn't get over that till 8 years later. And God dealing, that's. And let me tell you all something. I want to make things clear, because I say, you know what? I flunked out of med school. That's what I am. Graduated in my second year. I have a master's degree in the second year of medical school. I don't know if you all understand that. That means I was 2 years in the second year of medical school because I was flunking. God changed the perspective in life. I wasn't looking at life at the same way. It was beginning to change. Slowly. God was going to work it slowly. I said I was going to clarify something. I messed up in my career. And there's some people say, well, you messed up, but God had another plan. I don't take it that way. I think I really messed up. It's no excuse. That God used it for the better, praise the Lord. But it doesn't take away my responsibility that I failed in my responsibility of a young man in study. Changes the perspective. I don't know if back then, because as soon as I got saved, just a few months later, in Aguascalientes, the thoughts started going through my mind, because it's really exciting once you get saved. Hearing the preaching, listening to the studies, going to church. Man, God just planned it all for me. I ended up taking a job. And I didn't plan it that way, but I ended up taking a job in a restaurant called Crazy Horse, El Caballo Loco. And I was the waiter and bartender there. And it was only half a block away from where the church met. I had time to go to the meetings. And to me, all this was God's hand. Not only getting saved, but staying in church. Anyway, God changes the perspective. And I remember after getting saved, the crazy thought started going through the mind. Maybe you need to preach. I sincerely think that back then, it was only a reaction of the flesh. The excitement. But to me, I couldn't distinguish. Is God calling or... After I left San Luis, after I left Aguascalientes, I went to San Luis. And my dad ran me out of the house, and I ended up moving into Dale's house. And not long after moving into Dale's house, one day he takes me and says, sit down. Kneel down. We're going to kneel down, and we're going to pray. And this story about Abraham and Isaac, you're going to put your body into the altar. And you're going to sacrifice yourself and give yourself to God. I said, what? Hold on. Really? And I did it, but it wasn't. I was really doing it because he persuades real easily. Anyway, I did it. Make the story short, God changed my perspective. He changes that. He changes the way you relate. Accountability. Not only does it change you in here, it changes the way you relate with people. Accountability. God saves you. You understand you're accountable. That you're going to be held accountable. And then you start telling people, you can't live that way. God is going to hold you accountable. You can't drink. You can't be fornicating. You can't continue in idolatry. God will hold you accountable. And that's going to change. That changes the way you relate with people. Relationships are broken because you start telling people that they will be accountable.
Amen. Amen.
Man, how much does just this single word change an individual? Changes tremendously. Just that word. How about the others? Imagine. But just accountability. The power of it. The fact that you are telling them now, you will one day stand before the white throne of God.
That's right.
What a tremendous thing.
Amen.
We have no idea. We know it says it, but we don't fully comprehend. The fact that they will stand one day before the great white throne. The fact that in that day, the people before the great white throne, God is going to have before Him not only souls, but enemies. That's what the Bible teaches. The time for reconcile is past. And they are now forever in enmity with God. The fact that they're going to stand before a God that has withheld His wrath and is ready to let go upon the heads of each one. What a tremendous thing. Nevertheless, brothers and sisters, this is not the judgment in which we will stand before
Thank
God.
You, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You know, if you remember the verse we read, judgment seat of Christ, that is not the judgment in which we will stand.
Amen.
And you have to say, praise God,
yes.
Praise His mercy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord.
You just got to shout. You got to fall on your knees. You got to say, thank you, Lord, for your love.
Amen.
Thank you for your mercy.
Amen.
Thank you for your patience.
Amen.
Thank you for giving your son. Thank
Amen.
You because
Amen.
We will not be before the great white throne. But we will be before the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
And that is black and white.
Amen.
That is just, there's immensity in between them two. On judgment day, or the judgment in which we will experiment this judgment of the seat of Christ. It's a day when the redeemed meet the Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
Not the judge and the culprit. The redeemed and the Redeemer. Wow. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Salvado por sangre por Cristo. That became one of my favorites. Redeemed, and you all understand, is not talking just about being saved. It's talking about being bought. We're redeemed with a price.
Yes.
High price.
Yes, sir.
His blood.
Amen.
That's what we're going to experiment that day. Redeemed before the Redeemer. It's a day in which
He meets his beloved, not his enemies. There's no hate that day toward us. There's love. Imagine this. God, Jesus, us before Him. So many years without seeing Him. And all of a sudden, He's going to have His beloved finally.
Yes, amen.
Finally with
amen.
Him.
Amen.
No masters that day, but His children. What a glorious day.
Amen.
It's a day in which He will meet us with love. I believe with desire. You don't think He's desiring
yes,
this?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Oh, yes, He does.
He wants to make everything right.
Amen.
It's a day not only does He desire, is He going to meet us with love, with desire, but with great expectation.
Amen.
That is what that day means to Him. Now I would like to ask, do you understand?
Amen.
A day in which, I was forgetting this part, a day in which He presents Himself to us not ready to condemn, not ready to punish, a day in which He presents Himself to us wanting to reward.
Amen.
Reward. He's loaded with crowns.
Amen.
And He wants to bestow them to us. Not only give, but a day when, because He's always so giving.
Amen.
Not it wasn't just salvation. He wants to bestow crowns upon us. And it's not only that, but it's a day of great expectation where He wants to receive. Because it's not now just giving. It's receiving what He deserves. It's not only the crowns that He wants to bestow, but the ones that we can lay on His feet.
Amen.
What a day.
Amen.
He wants to reward. He wants to crown. And all those who, like Paul, said, I labored in such a manner that I would be found accepted of Him. We labor in such a manner. That's what the verse that we read. As we labor in such a manner that whether be present or absent, we may be found accepted in Him. Now God, Jesus Christ, has already done this through His sacrifice. We are now accepted in Him because of what He did in the cross.
Amen.
But there's this other acceptance to where He wants to be pleased by what we did. It's that time. The time for Him to be glorified.
Amen.
To be exalted. To receive the honor and the glory that He deserves. That is that time.
That is what it's all about, the judgment seat of Christ. Now I ask, if I mention, or if time in the past, you've read this verse, or someone has brought it up to your attention, the judgment seat of Christ, what is the first feeling that falls upon your heart?
Sorrow?
I didn't understand.
Sorrow, yes.
Sorrow. What is the first feeling that falls upon your heart if we mention, if we consider the judgment seat of Christ? Fear.
Amen.
Sorrow. Corey?
Accountability.
And what follows with that?
Guilt.
Amen. What else? Shame.
Amen.
What else? If you just consider the words that we've spoken, that have gone through my mind, my heart, there is definitely something wrong here. According to Paul's testimony, he's saying, I have labored in such a manner that whether it be present or absent, he may find me in a pleasing manner, accepted before him. And yet, our feelings are fear.
Amen.
Shame.
All right.
That has to tell us something.
Amen. Preach, brother. Amen.
There's something wrong.
Amen.
There's definitely something wrong. Because that is not the way that He wants to meet us. In shame? In regret? You didn't have time? I didn't give you time? The commandment was not clear? The sacrifice, my sacrifice to you, was not sufficient? That you would sacrifice then for me? Guilt, shame, regret. That speaks one thing. There's something wrong in here.
Amen.
I do not want to get into that day of the judgment seat of Christ with sorrow. If you're going to wipe out my tears, I want them to be of joy.
Amen.
You're finally here, my son.
Amen.
Maybe. Pain is over. Affliction has ended. No more death, no more sorrow. But because of shame, because of affliction, because of all the things we just mentioned, I don't want to be that day. And that He would find in me shame. Regret, sorrow, and you know what? I can still change that.
Amen. Amen.
That's what you find in me right now.
Amen.
But it can change. And I don't want to be found that way.
Amen.
That day.
Amen.
I know because we just read, we all will be before the judgment seat of Christ. I know that in that day, He will ask me what seems to be the obvious. Did you know me? Seems to be the obvious. Lord, if I'm here, it's because I know you. But like He asked Peter again, it seems obvious, but did you really know me? How well did you know me? We can talk about knowing, but He knows.
Amen.
How well we really
Amen.
Know Him. I knew the Lord. And they were speaking about it this morning. That when the gospel, or what was it yesterday? Yes, it was yesterday. It was Brother Darros that When you receive the gospel, when God gives you faith and He opens up your eyes to where you know Him, the first thing you want to know, you want to do, you want to let other people know. And all of you have experienced that at one time or another. Did you know me? I want to get there that day. And I want to say, yes, I knew you. And I want to let other people also know about you. I know that in that day, because this is what God wants. God wants to be known. And it is your responsibility
Amen.
To make Him known.
Amen.
You cannot wash your hands. You cannot say it is their responsibility. It is our responsibility.
Amen.
I knew you. And I let people know of you. That was my purpose. You made. I didn't make it my purpose. I really didn't, speaking of my experience with the Lord, I did not make it my purpose. This was not my plan. First time I saw Michael preach, young man, was he 13? 16. I saw him, and I don't know why, I'd seen Bill, I'd seen Brother Mike, Brent Riggs, but when I remember seeing Michael, I said, I am never going to do that. I don't know if he was foaming. I am not going to do that. He will ask me. I know it. This is the obvious, this is the question. This is one of the questions. Did you love me? Did you? Nobody loved you. Did you love me? There is a way of us showing our love to God. And it goes way further than what comes out of our lips.
Amen.
There's a way God tells you can show that you love Him. Love thy neighbor. Love thy neighbor. Don't pity the neighbor. Love thy neighbor. The best way of showing someone that you love him is guiding him to Christ. I know I lack that in my ministry. You don't want to know? I don't care. I remember one time in Pachuca, we used to preach at a certain place in front of a market. For several years we preached constantly. And you become acquainted with the people that listen to you. Oh, that's, you know who he is, you recognize his face, some of them you even know their names. And I remember speaking to this man who was real full of himself, full of pride. And sometimes you get tired of this. And they don't want to know, but they come to you and they ask, and well, I already told you. And after a long while, I said, you know what, forget it. And to myself, I said, forget it. I would see him and I would go look for someone else. One day, he caught up with me. He said, hey, how come you're not talking to me anymore? I said, what a nerve, man. And I told him why. I said, that don't matter. You still have the responsibility of talking to me. God used a mule that day to talk to me.
Amen. Amen.
And now every time I see him, I say, hey, let's go talk. They know. How come is it that they know that we have the responsibility? They know it. That they not like it. They do like it. But they know we're responsible. Did you love me? Did you fear me? Did you fear me?
Amen.
Did you obey my command? Because if there's fear, then you need to obey.
Amen.
And there's a lot of talking of fearing.
Amen.
But there's very little obeying.
Amen.
Did you fear me? I want to be able to say, Lord, I feared you. And I shook. And I was afraid. I didn't want to at times. And many times, maybe it wasn't because out of love. And Lord, forgive me for that. But there was always fear that one day you were going to hold me accountable. Don't you fear that one day you will be before Him and our hands may be soaked in blood?
Amen.
Did you not fear that I was going to demand? That I was going to demand that blood from your hands. Oh Lord, I fear. How could I not go? Did you know me? Did you love me? Did you fear me? And finally, did you serve me? Because I served you. Did you serve me? How can you go about life after someone gave himself all for you? How can you go about life saying, I am going to serve myself?
Amen.
I want to get there that day, being able to say without a guilty conscience,
Amen.
Lord, I loved you.
Amen.
Lord, I knew you. Lord, I feared you. Lord, I served you.
Yep.
Amen.